The message this morning will be verses 1 through 10 of chapter 5. The title is Appreciating Our High Priest. The priesthood of Christ is an important theme in the book of Hebrews. We begin seeing it in chapter 2 and verse 17, where he's called a merciful and a faithful high priest. And then in chapter 3, the first verse calls him the apostle and high priest of our profession. And then in chapter 4, in verse 14, he's our great high priest. In verse 15, he is the high priest which was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now in chapter 5, we start really focusing on Christ as our high priest, and begins a lengthy argument about the superiority of Christ to the Old Testament priests. It continues all the way through chapter 10. But here in chapter 5, we'll begin to look at the priesthood of Christ in some detail. So you follow along as I read verses 1 through 10. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained of men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this portion of your word that is before us this morning. Perhaps we thank you even more because it is so directly focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we desire to exalt him in this message. And we pray that we'll be able to see him as our high priest and appreciate that role in a greater way. May he be exalted. May our hearts be edified. And if there are lost sinners today in the congregation, may they be drawn to him as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've had this part-time job at UPS for some 18 years now. 18 years. 8 years, not 18. When I started, as I introduced myself to coworkers and supervisors, I told them that I was a part-time employee of UPS, but I was a full-time pastor. And there's one supervisor that he wanted to show respect that I was a pastor, and so he would sometimes call me Reverend, or he'd call me Pastor, and one day he called me Father. And I said, no, I'm a pastor, but I'm not a priest. But he wanted to show respect. But I felt I needed quickly to say, I'm not a priest. And because we are Baptists, we kind of have an aversion to being to priest and being, especially being called a priest. That may be unfortunate in one way, because the Bible clearly tells us that Christ fulfills a role of priest in our lives, and maybe we don't understand that the way we should, and so we don't appreciate his role as high priest in our lives. The book of Hebrews was originally written to Jewish Christians, and they clearly understood the scriptural role of a priest in the Levitical system, and needed to understand now that Christ fulfilled that role and he is superior to the Levitical priests. But we too, in the New Testament, need to understand Christ's role as high priest. And I think we can see in this passage, we can get some help to understand how Christ fulfills that office and why it's important to us. So let's begin by noticing that we need to understand the character of our high priest, the character of our high priest. In the first four verses that we read, it's describing the Old Testament priests, the descendants of Aaron, but they foreshadowed Christ for us in his role as high priest. So the characteristics we see in these verses are in man affected or assumed, but in Christ they are perfected. So we can get from these verses about the human high priest, we can learn the perfections of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the character of our high priest, first of all, he's a servant. He is a servant. Verse 1 says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men." And at this time, when Hebrews was written, the high priest in Jerusalem was effectively appointed by Roman authorities. They would put the man they wanted in control or in this office so that they could help control the Jewish people. It had become a political position. But scripturally, the high priest was ordained for men. He was a servant to his fellow man. As verse 1 says, he was taken from among men in order to serve men in things pertaining to God. He was to be their servant. The high priest in the Old Testament represented men before God and represented God to men. He served them. His main function was to present to God their gifts, their free will offerings of thanksgiving and worship, and also to bring before God sacrifices for sins in verse 1. But he was to be their servant. The priest was their servant. And Jesus Christ perfects that, and he serves Christians today as their high priest. Chapter 4, verse 14, it said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." But the first characteristic of our high priest is that he is a servant, and he is the perfect servant for the Christian today. God didn't pick an angel to be our high priest, though angels serve and minister to believers today. But God picked the Son of God, the man Christ Jesus. And chapter 2 and verse 17 of Hebrews says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So he is our high priest, and as high priest, Christ is a servant, serving Christians in things pertaining to God. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto or to be served, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So he is the servant, is an example to us of serving. So he is a servant. And he is also a sympathizer. Now that word has some bad connotations, but it means to feel or express compassion for someone or something. And Jesus, as our high priest, is a sympathizer because he has compassion on us. Verse 2 describes the ideal Old Testament priest and says, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." The Old Testament priest was to be a man of compassion. He was to, meaning that he was to bear with people. He was to deal with them gently. He was to be a man of compassion. He was to sympathize with their condition, their sinful condition. As the high priest, verse 2 puts it, that he could have compassion on the ignorant. He was to serve, as the scripture puts it, the ignorant, those who did not know God, did not understand God, and they needed instruction, and he could be their teacher. He was also to serve, in verse 2, them that are out of the way, those who had wandered astray. He was to gently bring them back. But the Old Testament high priest was to be, a man of compassion. And he was suited to that job, verse 2 tells us, because of his own infirmity, because for that he himself also is compassed or enclosed or hampered by his own weaknesses and moral frailty. So because of these things, the Old Testament high priest could sympathize. He could sympathize with the failings of his fellow Israelites because he had experienced the same failings. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a sympathizer, not because of failings, but because he is compassionate. And chapter 4, verse 15 described that in that phrase, saying that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can sympathize with the feeling of our infirmities because he was in all points tempted like as we are, without sinning, yet without sin. And so he is a compassionate high priest. He knows what we go through. He was tempted in every area in which we can be tempted, and yet he didn't sin. And so he can sympathize with us because he knows our weaknesses. And he deals gently with us and deals compassionately with those that are ignorant, those who need to be taught, and with those who are wayward and need to be brought back. And he, as our high priest, is a sympathizer. And then thirdly, he is a savior. He is the savior. The high priest was, in a sense, a savior to the people in the Old Testament because he offered for sins. Verse 3 says, "And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins." In the Old Testament, the most important task of the high priest was to bring the blood of the sin offering before God and atone for the sins of the people. Now, he did this once a year on the Day of Atonement when the blood was applied to the mercy seat and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and later in the temple. He had a vital role of appearing before God on behalf of the people and obtaining forgiveness for them and salvation for them. It was of course, a picture of what Christ would do, but it was so very important to the Jewish believer, to the Israelite, that the high priest would take the blood of the sin offering and apply it to the mercy seat and obtain forgiveness. But because he was a sinner too, the human high priest had to offer the blood for his sins as well. But Jesus Christ is not a Savior, he is the Savior. And he presented his own sinless blood to God as payment for our sins. And Christ as high priest obtains our forgiveness and our salvation, and is himself our Savior. So think of the character of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a servant. He serves us. He is, God said in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, "Behold, my servant." And he is a sympathizer. He is compassionate toward us, compassionate on the ignorant and on the wayward. And he is the Savior because he shed his blood for our sins and provided for our forgiveness. Secondly, we need not only to understand the character of our high priest, we need to understand his calling. In verses 4 and 5, we see the calling of our high priest. First of all, his calling is from God. Verse 4 says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." The Old Testament priest had a calling that was from God. No man taketh this honor unto himself. The office of a priest in the Old Testament was an honor, and it was not to be assumed by just anyone. You remember the rebellion of Korah in Numbers chapter 16. He and others with him came to Moses and Aaron and accused them of taking too much upon themselves, saying, "You know, all the people are holy, and they were taking too much upon themselves." And Moses, a little later, said to Korah that you are taking too much upon yourself, because God chose who would be the priest, and no man takes this honor upon himself. God chose Aaron and his descendants to serve in this role of priests, in the office of priests. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, God said, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." So it was God who called Aaron to the office of high priest, and he held that until his death. And verse 5 says in our text, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest." So in the same way, Christ did not assume the office of high priest on his own, but he was called to that office. He didn't take the honor upon himself. He glorified not himself, but God called him to the office of high priest. Verse 5 says, "But he," that is God, "that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." And this quote from Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7 appears in our New Testament in three places, in Acts chapter 13, and then two times here in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, and then here in Hebrews chapter 5. And it sometimes seems to refer to Christ's incarnation, to his birth, and sometimes to his resurrection, and then even maybe to his exaltation when he returns and sits on the throne of David. But the point here is that God called Christ to fulfill this role of high priest. And God the Father said thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And so he, this calling that the Lord Jesus Christ has to be high priest is from God. It's also for eternity. It has no end. It is for eternity. Verse 6 says, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We already mentioned that Aaron held the office of high priest until he died. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 6, it records the death of Aaron. And then his son, Eleazar, became high priest after him. But the calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be our high priest is eternal. It has no ending. He is to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He has a never-ending eternal priesthood. And how important that is for us, as Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, because he has an eternal priesthood. Our salvation is eternal and forever. So he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that is a quote of Psalm 110, verse 4. And it's important because Christ humanly could not be a priest after the order of Aaron, because he was a descendant of David, who is of the tribe of Judah, and not descended from Aaron, and not of the tribe of Levi. So God called him to be a high priest after a different order, but a better order, an eternal order, an unchanging order, the order of Melchizedek. So Hebrews 7, verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Think of how important this is for us. The Old Testament priests pictured the need for man, the need for a mediator between God and man. That need is still true in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so it's so important that we have a high priest, a mediator, who has an eternal calling, who is a high priest forever. And so his calling is from God, and his calling is eternal as our high priest. The last thing we see in this passage that we need to understand about our high priest is concerning his consecration. Concerning his consecration. The consecration of our high priest, and we can learn about in verses 7 through 10. And first of all, we see that his consecration was through suffering. Now, the Old Testament high priests were consecrated through ceremonies. In Exodus chapter 29, God gave commandments. He said, this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. They were consecrated through ceremonies. And that consecration served a great purpose, to demonstrate to the people that these men are qualified, they are set apart, they are hallowed to serve in this role. Well, Christ was consecrated during his earthly ministry for the role of high priest, to be our great high priest. And he was consecrated, first of all, through suffering. Verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, now, that's not Melchizedek. We do learn about Melchizedek more in a little bit, but this is speaking of Christ, who in the days of his flesh, during his earthly ministry, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, referring to particularly to the suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. when he prayed shortly before he was arrested and taken and tried and crucified. And as Luke records in Luke chapter 22, that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord suffered, but he knew that God was able to save him from death. And when Peter took it upon himself to take a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, the Lord said to Peter in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" But as our text says, though he knew that God was able to save him from death, it says that he was heard and that he feared, that he revered God. He had reverence for God. And so he says again in Matthew chapter 26 to Peter, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" And he was consecrated, he was hallowed to be our high priest by suffering, but also through his submission. In verse 8 it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." He were a son. Now, he is the unique Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the second person of the divine Trinity, is the way we understand his position in the Godhead. It doesn't mean he's less than the first person, the God the Father, or more than the third person, God the Holy Spirit. But he is fully God, and he is fully man. However, it says, "Yet learned he obedience." And the omniscient God does not learn anything. He knows everything. But the God-man did experience obedience or submission. In his humanity, Jesus Christ had to submit to the things which he suffered. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He was consecrated to be our high priest by submitting to suffering. He was consecrated by suffering. He was consecrated by submission. But then thirdly, he was consecrated to be our high priest by becoming our substitute. By becoming our substitute. Verse 9 says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And being made perfect, we can't comprehend the Son of God learning. Neither can we comprehend the Son of God being made perfect. And the term means to complete or consummate. Nothing could be added to the person of Christ because he is God. He is divine perfection. But what was completed was his consecration, was his qualification, his hallowing to be our high priest, his setting apart to be our high priest. And the last step, if we could put it that way, in this consecration was to become the sinner's substitute on the cross. Verse 9 puts it this way: "He became the author of eternal salvation." He became the author of eternal salvation when he went to the cross and he died in our place. And the term author means that he is the source, or he is the cause of our salvation. And he is the source of eternal life for all that obey him, verse 9 says. the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And obey here has the idea that we become subordinate to him. We become a follower of him. It's not that we keep some law or some list of rules, but we submit ourselves to him who is the source of our salvation. We become his follower, and we look to him as high priest. Verse 9 and 10 together says that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we become a follower of him and look to him as our high priest. And we receive the gift of eternal life that he purchased with his own blood. And he was consecrated as high priest through his suffering, his submission, and that he became our substitute on the cross. So our Lord Jesus Christ today is our high priest. We should understand that. We should understand the character, the calling, the consecration of that office. We need to remember and understand that he serves us. He sympathizes with us and saves us from sin. He's called by God to be our high priest forever. And he was consecrated to the office through suffering, through submission, and through dying in our place as our substitute. And today we can present him to the world as the perfect high priest, as the one who has provided for forgiveness and for salvation through the shedding of his own blood. So let's remember that role that he has in our lives and share that with a world that needs him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. And often we don't fully appreciate or understand what he does for us in that role. But may we be encouraged that he is a high priest forever, and that he intercedes for us and is available to us and deals with us with compassion and understanding. And may we also see that he is the one who has offered his own blood and provides forgiveness and salvation to those that are lost. And may we witness for him and share that truth about him. Father, we pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know Christ as their high priest, that they will recognize that he provided for their salvation, and may they submit themselves to him and trust in him and him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.